MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, February 27, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Stories we're looking at today: new city plan could lower cost of electricity for Beverly residents, DARPA funds to help Gloucester organizations, NAACP North Shore holds its first symposium.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, the MIAA boys and girls basketball tournaments are underway. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you. Mix of clouds and sun today, upper 40s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 1:02 p.m. Paul Layton's reporting in today's Salem News. The city of Beverly is preparing to launch a new program that it says should save residents money on their electric bills while increasing the use of renewable energy. The Beverly Community Electric Program will start in May and will offer a 20% cheaper price than the current basic supply cost charged by National Grid, according to the city. Mayor Mike Cahill said there's no guarantee the program's prices will always be lower than National Grid's, and residents can opt out any time. But historically, the program has saved money in the communities that have already adopted it. Ethan Foreman reports in today's Gloucester Times that Discover Gloucester and The Open Door are the first two of nine community organizations to receive COVID local fiscal recovery funds from the city to bolster their missions. Gloucester received $23 million under the American Rescue Plan Act's local funding provisions and has been distributing the money to several sectors within the community. Discover Gloucester, the city's official destination marketing organization, is getting $45,000 to support the production of a five-year strategic plan, and the Open Door on Emerson Avenue is receiving $200,000 to increase capacity, security, and food service functionality. The Newburyport Daily News is reporting that Coastal Connections in Amesbury will soon have a new home after acquiring a former Sparhawk school location. The organization, which supports people with disabilities, will be relocating from 35 Water Street to 4 Noel Street, the former home of Sparhawk School's upper campus, where students from 6th grade to 12th grade were educated. The property consists of a 20,000-square-foot facility on roughly 17 acres. ItemLive.com reports the NAACP North Shore branch held its first State of the North Shore Symposium Saturday at Lynn Museum and Cultural Arts. The symposium included welcome remarks from President Kenan McKenzie DeFranza, information regarding the museum from Executive Director Danica Thurston Chavez, playing of the Black National Anthem, advocacy area presentations, a panel discussion, and closing remarks by President and CEO of Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, Michael Curry. And Gail McCarthy writes in Gloucester Times, after years in the making, the Gloucester 400-plus commemorative book is published and ready to share. For those who pre-ordered, the book is available for pickup at the requested location, either the Gloucester 400-plus office or the bookstore of Gloucester. A limited number of books is available for purchase. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute, cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved-out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are 2 or 3 and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Bruins lost to the Kraken last night in Seattle 4-3. The Bruins will host the Golden Knights on Thursday. The Celtics were off yesterday. They return to action tonight at the Garden when they play host to Philadelphia. Monday in high school boys basketball scores, it was Boston Latin over St. John's Prep 57-54 in overtime. Springfield over Swampscott, that's Springfield International over Swampscott 67-65. Case beat Northeast 87-51. Kip over Whitensville Christian 56-39. And Hamilton Wenham boys beat Hampshire Regional 60-53. Girls basketball, D1, Peabody 62, Beverly 45. Notre Dame beat Lynn Classical, that's Notre Dame of Worcester, 50-41. Winthrop over Bethany Christian, 73-29. And the Hamilton Wenham girls beat Bristol County, 55-19. In high school hockey, the St. John's Prep hockey team is number one in the D1 tournament, and they open their playoffs tomorrow night at home against Lincoln Sudbury. They were a play-in winner last night with a 4-1 win over Lexington. How did the Prep get to be the number one seed? Maybe by paying attention to details. Coach Christian Hansen.
No, and that's something we stress to the kids all the time. It's that attention to detail every time you're on the ice. And, you know, if in these games, one goal or one penalty or one play can really swing the momentum. So every shift is so important. And it's difficult for teenagers. I think any athlete to consistently have that focus every shift. And we've been really fortunate to have good leadership from our captains and kind of just a good team culture where everybody's been buying in, and that helps us be successful.
All teams do adjust to their opponents, but being the number one seed can impact the way that you approach your game plan, such as knowing that other teams need to adjust to your style of play and play your game in order to advance in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the opponent matters. You know, there are certain opponents that we game plan for, but you know, I told the kids in the locker room, and it's kind of the philosophy of the coaching staff, you're number one, and, you know, you earned it through your play, and you know, it's let other teams try to match you, I guess, less than us changing what we do well to try to match other teams. So, you know, we're just getting ready for Wednesday, whether it's Lexington or Lincoln Sudbury. You know, we know 2 years ago, 3 years they've had power seeding, and all 3 years we've been number one going into the tournament. 3 years ago, in 2022, we played King Philip in the first round, and we won the game 3-1. And that was a 1v32 matchup, and it ended up being a really difficult game. So you learn from those experiences. We have 5 kids on the team that played in that game, and it was a good message then, and it is now, to make sure you're ready every time you step on the ice.
St. John's Prep coach Christian Hansen. College baseball, Salem State opened up their season with a 7-4 win yesterday over Gordon over at Salem State College. In our sports post, we have details on that game and all the other scores and brackets for you here on the website. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Tuesday.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are 2 or 3 and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBat banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, talking now with our basketball insider, Mike Grenier. And Mike, welcome back. How are the old pipes and the lungs going right now?
We're doing a lot better, Rick. Thank you very much for asking. Speaking of which, the Celtics seem to have the pipes going pretty good because they're still in first place by a wide margin. They're actually widening the margin in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, it's all good right now. It's almost too good in the sense that, like, they're not dealing with any major injuries, and you want that to be the case in April when the playoffs begin, you know?
I think we have to be very careful about feeling comfortable where they are for several reasons. One, you just mentioned that, and we don't want to jinx them, but, you know, injuries are always a part of the process. Witness the Eastern Conference right now.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the other thing is that exactly that, the Eastern Conference has a lot of injuries to major players, which skews the Celtics' record in one direction.
Yep.
And then what happens when they come back? So is this a true gauge of how good the team is? And let's start with that. How good is the team, and is their record a true gauge of how good it is?
I think it is a true gauge because, Rick, you know, I think a couple of weeks ago we mentioned, and I think you mentioned, the Celtics have the best road record in the NBA, and that's certainly right the case right now. They're 19-9. Away from home, and I believe they have won something like 8 straight road games or something like that, okay? So that's where the real test are, as you know, because they have a target on their back because they already have the best record in the NBA, 45-12. When they come into your town, the fans want to beat you real bad. The team wants to, even the Detroit Pistons or the San Antonio Spurs or some of the lower-level teams, that makes their season if they can beat the Celtics. Now, obviously, the Celtics go into Madison Square Garden, you know, all that tradition there and all that history on a Sunday afternoon, national TV game, Jalen Brunson's playing out of his mind, the Knicks, you know, having a good year, and the Celtics go out and take care of business. I thought that was impressive. You know, they've really, really been playing great both at home and on the road. And, you know, last couple of, you know, they came out of the All-Star break, having to go on the road. They win those games, and now I think they're back at home Tuesday night, tomorrow night against the Philadelphia 76ers, who, of course, are a depleted team without Joel Embiid. They've lost a bunch of games. They're like something like 5-17 or something since Embiid hasn't played. So, therefore, another opportunity for a win.
I want to go back a couple of years and contrast the statements that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum used to say during the course of a season with what they're saying right now. And I am very impressed, probably more with Jaylen Brown than Jason Tatum, but impressed with both of them as to what they have to say about the other Jay and about the team concept, because it really looks like the old Celtic mystique is starting to grab hold.
I agree. I think Jaylen Brown made a comment after one of the recent games about, it doesn't matter if the Celtics win the Eastern Conference by, you know, right now they're leading by 7.5 games over the second place Cavaliers. Basically, he said, and he said it out, you know, out loud, basically, that it doesn't matter how many games you win the Eastern Conference by, that's all wiped off the board once the playoffs start. It's a whole new season. I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but he's right. In other words, you can impose your will and impose your dominance throughout the regular season, but it all goes down the tubes once the postseason starts. The good thing, of course, is that when you do have best record, you're assured of home court advantage if it comes down to a seventh game. So I love the way Jaylen Brown addressed that issue. And most impressive, Rick, I know you mentioned Jason Tatum too, is Kristaps Porzingis. Every time he gets a chance in the postgame, he talks about what a joy it is to play for such a team-oriented group as the Celtics. And he pointed out that Jason Tatum could easily be averaging over 30 points a game, but he's sacrificing some of his points so that other guys can get involved, and five guys involved in every play. And we see that with Drew Holiday and Derek White. I think it's impressive. Porzingis is also basically elevating the team concept, in my opinion, because he feels so strongly about it, and he's not afraid to express it. These days, as we see in the NBA, Rick, there's so much individualism. Guys want their stats. Guys want their 10 assists per game or 29 points per game. But we don't see that from Tatum. Sometimes we've talked about this. He defers to the guys who have the hot hand. And Porzingis is just verbalizing those things post-game. I think it's really impressive. And, of course, Porzingis is like a basically was a borderline all-star this year. He's having a great year. Mm-hmm. And he's obviously having a great time on the court with these guys.
We grew up with the Celtics teams that won 11 and in 13 years and Bill Russell and all of that stuff. And they never, there were no individual leaders statistically on any of those teams as I can recall.
Right.
And they won championships. And I think that's exactly what we're looking at right now. And it's exciting. And I hope they can keep doing it.
Right. I you know, they do have that focus. I think the thing that's driving Jason Tatum in particular, and I mean, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, everyone knows he's a great player. Of course, he came out a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago, saying, when the 10 players hit the court on a given night, meaning the 5 Celtics players and the 5 opposing players, he feels he's the best player on the court, and he wants to show that every night. Well, in one way, that's a bit bold statement to make. However, I think he really feels that, like, he wants to carry the team on his back all the way to the end of June, or mid-June, or whenever the playoffs finish. He really wants that championship real bad, and I think the reason that not just him, but guys like Al Horford, Derek White, guys who've been around for 2 or 3 years now, they know how close they've come, losing to Golden State 2 years ago in the final, losing to the Miami Heat last year in the Eastern Conference 7th game. They know they've been very close, and now they even have a better team with the addition of Porzingis and Jrue Holiday. And along with that, even though we've added Porzingis, the Celtics have added Porzingis and Holiday, you also have to count Derek White. It's almost like he's a new player, Rick, right? Derek White has played so well.
Yep.
He led the team a couple nights ago with 28 points. He outscored Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. 28 points. He's hitting the three-pointer. He plays an exemplary floor game. He knows how to pass. He's a tremendous defensive player. It's almost like he's a different player than he was with Greg Popovich in San Antonio. He was a very good player there, and the Celtics made a move to get him. But he's improved every year with the Celtics. And, like, I can't believe some of the games he's been having, because there are certain nights where he's just as good as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
There's so much there, yeah. I agree. And, you know, I was so upset when Brogdon was treated the way he was, when Marcus Smart left and Grant Williams. But these guys are better. I mean, Derek White has really upped his game, as you mentioned. He's gotten better. Jrue Holiday, to me, is a little bit of a mystery because he doesn't talk much. But, boy, does he say it with his play on the court.
Yeah, and, of course, he has that championship timber because he won it with the Milwaukee Bucks 3 years ago. So he brings that added dimension of what it takes to become a champion. I think that's an important thing in the locker room when you get to games, you know, when you get to start the playoffs against whether it be Philadelphia or Milwaukee or Miami. You know, he knows how to win a championship, and he can impart that to guys like Tatum and Brown and guys who haven't tasted a championship yet. I think Jrue Holiday is very important in this whole puzzle that the Celtics have put together. He's just a true champion. I love his defensive ability, and he's not afraid to take on Giannis, these 7-foot guys, and he'll take on guys that are bigger and stronger because he's so clever, and he can still disrupt an offense with his clever play on defense. He's a physical guy. He can hit, of course, offensively. He hits that corner jumper, that baseline jumper,
yeah.
3-pointer. He's very good at that. So they have a total package there in Jrue Holiday. I like the ball in his hands when he brings the ball over half court, and he's the one making the decisions. I love it when that goes on. And you know what? And I saw it, Rick, and I think we should bring this up regarding Joe Mazzulla, because he's taken his share of criticism by a lot of people, including myself, because last year, you know, he took over as a rookie, and it was kind of unfair. He got the job just a day before the season began, and they lost to the Miami. He took a lot of heat. However, I saw something today from Peyton Pritchard. He was on a podcast or a press conference where he said, Joe Mazzulla is not one of those coaches who, because it's an 82-game season, says, okay, we can coast for a couple of games. I can rest my starters. He says Mazzulla wants to win every game, and he puts it on us to play hard to win every game. I thought that was a really telling statement by Peyton Pritchard today.
I don't remember Red Auerbach saying taking any time off.
No, he didn't, and I know Tommy Heinsohn didn't either.
I want to ask you about something that just came to mind. A few years ago, the Celtics have had terrific seasons recently, really good seasons, played very well, have gone deep into the playoffs. But I know that on the Boston sports stations, and you know I'm not a fan of them, but they used to talk about likability, and there was not a lot of likability. This team, I think from 1 through 12 or 15, is likable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I think of likability, I think of how, I guess it was so chaotic when Kyrie Irving was there, even though he's a talented player. And Gordon Hayward was there. He's certainly not a troublemaker. They had some really good players, but they couldn't. The mix wasn't right because Kyrie Irving had his own agenda, and he basically disrupted the entire team. This team is much more likable. They're much more together. I think Porzingis has actually added to that team feeling with his outlook on the game and the way he plays the game. And, of course, like I mentioned, I think Tatum, his mission is to win a championship. Same with Jaylen Brown. Jrue Holiday knows how to win a championship. And I think they're driven by that goal. And I think on the horizon, though, I will say this. In watching, OKC is a very good team. They might be a year away, though. The OKC Thunder, outstanding team. The Clippers had a good run for a while. Minnesota Timberwolves are a dangerous, dangerous team. But I still look at the Rocky Mountain High out there,
yep.
And I see those Denver Nuggets and how well they play as a team. And a couple of games ago, I don't know if you noticed, Rick, I don't know if people picked up on this, but Jokic had a triple-double where he shot the ball perfectly, 10 for 10
yep.
to the floor.
Yep.
He had like 14 assists and 15 rebounds to go with it, okay? And then last night's game, I watched Jokic play against Draymond Green, who's still very much a filthy, dirty player. And he took on Jokic and tried to get physical with him. Well, Jokic just brushes him off like a flea because he's going to play his own game. Jokic does. He finished with 34 points, 16 rebounds, and 16 assists.
Wow.
And Draymond Green had 7 points.
Wow.
And not that Draymond Green takes as many shots. However, the point is Jokic dominated the game. They brushed off Golden State. They won by 10 or 12. And they're only like a half a game or a game out of first place in the Western Conference. That's the team that worries me the most because not only do they have outstanding players and good chemistry, but they won it a year ago. So if they get there, and with a good coach in Mike Malone, it'd be a classic series, I think. Celtics-Denver would be a phenomenal series. It would probably be a ratings bonanza because Boston does have a lot of followers throughout the country. Rick, matter of fact, when they played at Madison Square Garden, the Celtics a couple days ago, Sunday afternoon, it seemed like there were as many Celtics fans at Madison Square Garden as there were Knicks fans.
I know, especially at the end, it sounded like a home game. But yeah, I would love to see Denver-Boston for sure. Along that line, Mike, and I don't want to keep you forever, but I want to ask you about Luke Kornet because Doncic's down the road, and it seems that from these eyes, you know, the untrained eyes, a couple of things with Kornet. He's improved his game.
Yeah.
He is a joy. Well, he gets joy out of the game, let me put it that way, just as I think Porzingis does and all the other guys, but especially Kornet. He does that little double-double dance or whatever the hell it is, which is pretty funny. But he seems to be being used correctly by the coaching staff. So explain to me, if you would, from your perspective, has he improved, and is he an asset now off the bench?
Well, I think he definitely is an asset. I think Mazzulla and the coaching staff know exactly what his limitations are. And I think Kornet knows. Sometimes players don't know their limitations. They try to do too much. I see that throughout the league with certain players, especially bench players who think they should be started. They try to do too much. Kornet is just the opposite. He's going to hang around. He's going to set picks. He's going to pick and roll to the basket. Tatum or Jaylen Brown or Jrue Holiday is going to find him underneath the basket, uncovered. They're going to lift, throw the ball up in the air, and he's going to dunk it because at least he has enough athletic ability to do that. And he can also hit the little jumper. He also plays pretty good defense. He buys into the system that Joe Mazzulla and the coaching staff have. I guess that's the best way to employ it, that term. Mm-hmm. He's buying into what they do. I think the players themselves, the starters, they buy into what Kornet can do and what he can't do. And they know what his strengths and weaknesses are, and Kornet knows what those strengths and weaknesses are. And by the same token, like you said, compared to a year ago, he definitely has improved his game. He's more of an asset. There's some night, Rick, where he'll give the Celtics 8, 10 points, five or six rebounds, and he's especially valuable on the nights where Al Horford has to sit out if they're playing back-to-back nights, or if, you know, obviously if Porzingis gets injured, Cornette's going to get more playing time. I think he's been valuable in those moments when he's needed for 15, 16, mm-hmm. 18 minutes as opposed to 10 minutes.
Well, we might.
Yeah, I think he's a really strong asset.
We might as well go through the rest of the lineup here. I mean, the two guys that we haven't mentioned in any detail are Sam Hauser and Al Horford, and both contributing. And Al Horford, I just remember, Mike. You know how much I hate when people sit in a radio booth or they sit behind the typewriter and they trash athletes. And I remember when Horford came back to the Celtics, they nicknamed him, and I won't say who did, but they nicknamed him Average Al.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And I just think, like, if I were Horford, I'd just walk up to them someday and say, in your face.
Well, you know, Al Horford has too much dignity to do that, all right?
Yes.
I remember his father, Tito Horford. And I still see Tito Horford at the Boston Garden. He was a player. And I think Horford is a man of character. And he's always been that way. He was that way in college, won a national championship. He's been that way in the pros, whether he was with the Celtics or he departed for Philadelphia for a couple of years, came back. He knows where he fits in. He knows how old he is, meaning he's not going to try to do too much, but yet he can still hit the three. He's still above average. You want to say average Al, I call him above average Al on defense because he still blocks shots and he positions himself so well, he's not going to get burned on defense, and he still contributes to the offense. So I don't know why anybody would call him Average Al, because not only does he do the things on the court, but off the court, he's definitely a guy that young players can look up to. And I mean, like, even opposing players. They'll go talk to him after games and all that stuff, because he's such a terrific person, and he's always been a team-oriented player going back to his college days. So,
yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, I wondered how long he would play, whether he'd be able to play at the age of 36 or 37 and all that. But he's certainly demonstrating that he can do that. And I think the Celtics coaching staff, particularly Mazzulla, has taken the right approach by sitting him down on when they have back-to-back games.
When I think of Al Horford, I think of Matthew Slater and Devin McCourty on the Patriots.
Yes.
I think of Patrice Bergeron on the Bruins. I think of, dare I say it, Big Poppy on the Red Sox. These are guys, as you mentioned, who are class. But they know what they can contribute. They know their value as both entertainers and athletes, but also what they mean to kids in the community. And
right. That's
what I think is so great about Horford. He gets it.
Right. He gets it. He's also what you call a clubhouse guy, a dressing room guy. In other words, like, he is a leader in the dressing room. Because he's been around so much, if the Celtics had a 4 or 5-game losing streak, he'd be the first one to say, okay, things happen, things go up and down, we're going to ride this out, slump. But, you know, they haven't had a 5-game losing streak.
No.
You know? But he's the type of guy you could look up to because of his, he's got the wisdom from being around for so long.
Right.
And he's been through many playoff battles. Rick, we know how tough the playoffs are. It's so different than the regular season. He's been so battle-tested that you want him in your corner going into the playoffs, you know. And you mentioned Hauser. Again, lately he's been coming off the bench and hitting the threes. I know he's shooting at over 40% on threes, and that's outstanding, of course. So he's certainly been a valuable asset. And Peyton Pritchard, who we mentioned. Pritchard, I love because I can't believe for his size, I thought they list him at probably 6'1". He's more like 5'11", as you and I probably know. And he's scrapping for offensive rebounds.
Yes.
Right? He comes up with the ball, goes off somebody's knee, some guy that's 6'8", and, you know, Pritchard winds up with the ball, and he kicks it outside to Jaylen Brown or Tatum for a three. It's amazing the number of offensive rebounds because he's so scrappy and in your face.
He's like a mosquito. All right, couple of quick questions. We'll finish it up here, Mike. You've been in the locker room with great Celtic teams, and we talked about players playing for each other. We talked about the playing for the benefit of the team and so on in general with the Jays. In your recollection, as an observer and an insider, really,
yes. How
much did chemistry play a part in terms of the egos of these guys, you know, the big three in the 80s with McHale and Parrish and Bird. And everybody knew Bird, including Bird, knew he was the best player. But they played off each other just as this Celtics team is doing. How much, just relay to me what that felt like, and how that relates to this team now, Mike, if you understand what I'm trying to say. The chemistry,
egos can sometimes take over a team, and, I think I'll use a quick, LeBron in L.A., he can do whatever he wants, and if you don't do what he wants, then you shouldn't play with the Lakers. With the Celtics, especially with the Bird era, and particularly the Tommy Heinsohn and the Dave Collins era, with some superstar players there, with JoJo White and Havlicek and all that stuff, the Celtics players, the teams that I was around, and even the Kevin Garnett days when they won it in 2008, they were able to take those egos and kind of submerge them, in other words, like for the benefit of the team. And I think Tatum is really trying to do that this year, and Porzingis is pointing it out after every game, how he's sacrificing his points, his stats, for the benefit of the team. So that is really an ego, sort of checking your ego at the door, as you say. So I think chemistry plays a huge role when there are so many talented players on virtually every team. The ones that emerge at the end, for example, like Denver last year, are the teams that can submerge those egos and play together. And I think you saw that with Denver last year. I think I saw it with the Milwaukee Bucks. I used to talk to Pat Connaughton all the time and still do. I mean, he loved playing with Jrue Holiday when he won it 3 years ago. Mike Budenholzer, the coach, was able to corral the egos of Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, who was at his peak at the time, and Jrue Holiday, and make them a true team. And I think that's what the Celtics are aiming for this year. And, through 57 games, certainly, we've seen it work. So I think chemistry and being able to check your ego at the door are huge factors in a championship team. I think that goes from year to year. The team that wins it is usually a team that gets along, And the teams that have the biggest egos, I can't see the Clippers, for example, making a deep run in the playoffs, because you put James Harden out there and Westbrook and Paul George and James Harden, I can't see that working, even though that on paper there's a lot of talent there.
Well, I think everything you just mentioned, especially for the winners, defines the concept of team.
Yeah.
And that is what the Celtics, at least, in their heyday and now in their champions, that's what it is. I think every team, when you do that, that's how you end up winning. Of course, you have to have the talent, for one thing, but then it has to be appropriately displayed. Finally, Mike, finally.
Yeah.
Other thoughts on where we're headed right now in terms of the final 25 games or so in the season?
Yeah, well, I think, if Pritchard is right, and I think he's right, if Peyton Pritchard is right, I think the Celtics are going to play hard the remaining 25 games. Although this is what's going to be Missoula's dilemma, I think. If they keep playing the way they are, Rick, let's say there are 6 or 7 or 5 games left in the regular season, and the Celtics are up 9 or 8 games in the Eastern Conference. There's no way they can finish, let's say, with the second-best record in the NBA. Does Mazzulla make the tough choice of sitting down his starters, let's say giving Tatum a 2-game rest, giving Jaylen Brown a 2-game rest, giving Horford some rest? So the challenge is, do you want those players to get some rest and be ready for the playoffs, or do you want to play them enough so that they'll be sharp for the playoffs? I think that's actually going to be a little bit of a conundrum for the coaching staff of the Boston Celtics if they keep playing like this and they're so far ahead of everybody else. My thinking on that is that Mazzulla will want his players to be razor sharp for the playoffs. He might not play Tatum 38 minutes down the stretch the last 5 or 6 or 10 games of the season. He might play him 32 minutes. He might play Horford 27 or 28 minutes. But I don't think he's going to – my personal feeling is that I don't think he'll sit anybody down for 2 or 3 games. To me, that will be something to watch as we get close to the end of the season.
Is there any indication how Sam Cassell has impacted the team?
I see him talking to players all the time. So, no one's come out publicly and said Sam Cassell is making a huge difference and all that. But you do see it. He interacts with the players. I bet you anything Mazzulla is extremely comfortable having a veteran like Sam Cassell on the bench. He's been through the wars. He's been on various teams. I think Sam Cassell was a great addition to that coaching staff. We'll see in the end, if it comes down to a game 7 against Denver, how much influence the coaching staff has had. But let's hope it comes down to a game 7. Or maybe, let's hope it comes down to a game six and the Celtics can win it in six.
Or a game four and they can win in four.
Yeah, four. Although, if they played Denver, I think it would be such a phenomenal. I wouldn't mind stretching out a little bit because both teams are so good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you'd see the. I really believe you'd see the highest form of NBA basketball as it is today. If the Denver Nuggets play the Celtics.
All right, we've got this
form of basketball.
We've got this on tape, so we'll bring it back later on during the playoffs.
Sure.
Mike, next week, when we talk next, hopefully you'll be next Monday or even earlier.
Yep.
Please, I won't surprise you like I did today and make the surprise call, but I want a Power Five and then maybe what your eyes see around the rest of the league.
Right. Here, if I could throw in this a final note, it seems to come out of nowhere, but I was at my nephew, 6'10", plays for Central Catholic, which is one of the best teams in the state. They had a game at Lowell High School just as the All-Star break for the NBA started a week ago Friday. And who shows up at Lowell High School? Terrence Mann, who plays for the Clippers, the LA Clippers. He shows up. He's from Lowell. He had no reason to show up at Lowell High School when he's on the All-Star break. He's making millions of dollars with the Clippers, but he showed up to support his old school, Lowell High School, in a regular season game against Central Catholic. Terrence Mann, a terrific kid. He's 27 years old. He averages 8 or 9 points off the bench for the Clippers. And I thought it was impressive that an NBA player would come back to his hometown and just sit in on a high school game on a Friday night when he's on the All-Star break.
It's great to hear that, and I'm glad you mentioned that because there are guys who have they have their hearts and their minds in the right place. And so many times we think of the egomaniacs with their millions of dollars and some of their demands, and then you have kids like that. So that's a good story, Mike.
Yeah, it was terrific to see. And you know what? I went over and said hello to him at halftime, and he was very, very, very appreciative, and he was very polite. And I said to him, I hope you guys play the – I didn't mean it when I said it, but I said, I hope the Clippers play the Celtics in the finals. And he kind of chuckled, and he gave me a fist bump. And I thought, he's just a cool guy. And he was just there as an observer. He was with a couple of friends watching his old high school team play, Lowell High School.
Very nice.
Central Catholic.
Very nice. I'm going to have to follow this kid now. Thanks for telling me that. All right, Mike, you get some rest again, please, and we'll talk again soon. But, man, this is always so much fun. I always learn so much from you, and it's great that the Celtics are in this position right now.
It sure is, Rick, and let's just hope they stay healthy. I think that's going to be the key to the whole season.
Amen to that. Mike, you be well. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Rick, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. All right, that's Mike Grenier, our basketball insider with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.